One of the most recognizable phrases about dilemmas is this one. To be or not to be? That is the question. It's interesting that if we add the letters O and Y around the B, we get this, to obey or not to obey. And that was the great dilemma facing the wise men. That was their question. They faced that dilemma of obedience shortly after they met Jesus. There's some mystery still around the story of the wise men. Again, we're given what we need to know. But of course, being humans as we are, we tend to wonder about detail and want to add detail to it. But we still don't know exactly where they were from. We know that they were from the east somewhere. We don't know exactly how many there were. We've settled on three. For a number of reasons, but we don't know what their names might have been, but we've speculated on that too. And we don't know really what the significance of their gifts were, but we've added meaning and what we think may have been the significance. But the particular dilemma that we're looking at today, none of those things, it just deals with this one problem. Should these wise men do what King Herod said that they should do? Or what they were asked to do in their dream by God. To obey Herod or not to obey Herod. To obey God or not to obey God through the warning in their dream. That was their dilemma. We don't know exactly how long it took the wise men to find Jesus, but we do know that before they met him in Bethlehem, their journey took them to the palace of King Herod. A conniving, power-hungry and manipulative ruler. We know that because history records how many of his family members he assassinated because he saw them as threats to his power. And he would have been quite prepared to murder a potential Messiah that the Jews of the time were waiting for and expecting to arrive. Indeed, we know what Herod's reaction to not being told where Jesus was, what that reaction was. But Herod needed the help of these wise men to pinpoint the location of this possible threat. And once he had part of the information he needed from the wise men, he sent them off with the mission to find Jesus so that they could report to him where he was. But once they found Jesus, they felt compelled to kneel, overwhelmed with great joy that led them both to give honour and gifts to the newborn king. Now, we don't actually know how much they believed in God, how much they believed Jesus to be the Son of God as part of what we read in the Bible as their worship, because they offered worship. But the word used in the verse actually means originally to honor or to show adoration in appreciation with humility. There's a whole sort of concept of what it means, but it doesn't mean worship in the sense that we worship a God who is known to us. It means some kind of understanding of the greatness of a person, but that's all we know. So we don't know if they were actually aware of God or of exactly who Jesus was. We don't know exactly what they believed, but we do know that they were deeply moved when they found what they had been searching for all this time. Does that ring a bell in our experience too? Verse 12 is where they're dilemma materializes. They'd found Jesus. They knew where he was now located. The next thing to do was to return to Herod with the information. But should they? To obey or not to obey? That was the question. Or perhaps, whom should the wise men obey or not obey? Should they obey Herod the man or the warning in the dream that came to them from God? Although there's no indication that the wise men were followers of the God of the Bible, the dilemma was still there. Should they obey man or God? And the dilemma actually remains today and confronts people of faith on a daily basis in different avenues of life. What should a person do when they're faced with a dilemma to either obey God or a human being? When the dilemma before them is contradictory. You can't do both. Well, go with the highest authority, even if it means civil disobedience. That's what the wise men chose to do. They went home a different way and didn't obey Herod. There's a theologian called Jim Dennison, and he wrote something about this. When should Christians obey or disobey the government? God's word consistently calls for us to obey and support our governing authorities. Paul wrote to Timothy and said that requests, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving should be made for everyone, for kings and all of those in authority. His instruction to Christians living in Rome was clear. Everyone must submit themselves to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, who resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. And so that seems quite clear. We should obey civil authorities. Paul said, pay to them all what is owed to them. Taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honour to whom honour is owed. And Peter said, or wrote, be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. So it would seem clear then, wouldn't it, that Christians are to submit to the authority of government, seeing it as its exercise of power as God's will for us. However, there's more to consider. In Acts 4, you remember that Peter and John were ordered to stop preaching the gospel by the Sanhedrin, the highest authority in Judaism, and their response is this: whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. In Daniel 3, the Babylonian king put up a golden image and required all people to worship it. And the Jewish exiles, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, testified before the idolatrous king, we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image you have set up. And you know what happened to them? And three chapters later, Daniel refused to pray to the Persian king and was thrown into the lion's den as a result. Martin Luther King wrote from his prison cell, one has not only a legal but a moral responsibility to obey the laws, to obey just laws. Conversely, one has a moral responsibility to disobey unjust laws. John Stott was one of the most respected evangelical theologians of the 20th century, and in his commentary on Romans 13 he asks this: granted that authority of the rulers is derived from God, what happens if they abuse it? If they reverse their God-given duty, commending those who do evil and punishing those who do good? Does the requirement to submit still stand in such a morally perverse situation? No, the principle is clear. We are to submit right up to the point where obedience to the state means disobedience to God. But if the state commands what God forbids or forbids what God commands, then our plain Christian duty is to resist, not to submit, to disobey the state in order to obey God. Now, this isn't a prelude to getting everybody making banners and flags and marching to government or council offices. But it's still a pertinent point, and one that we have to use as a kind of a template for our life following Christ. You see, you and I are citizens of two countries. We live in a secular nation with secular leaders that we are to support and obey. But we also live in a spiritual society with an omnipotent king whose authority is supreme. Jesus taught us to render to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. But when we're forced to choose, we must obey our highest authority. Whether or not the wise men truly know God is debatable, but their actions from the story tell us that when they departed to their own country by another route, rather than returning to Herod in obedience to him, they show how they answered their Christmas dilemma. They didn't obey Herod. They obeyed God, or at least heeded the warning to them in their dream. When we're faced with the dilemma of obeying God or obeying man, may we do likewise. If we do, we too will be wise men and women in the eyes of God.